Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Patiparajakacharya Shastotatasuta Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Patiparajakacharya Shastotatasuta Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Hariras Thakur ki jai. Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giri Gopudhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Gop Primanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Verses. What number is it? Ananta Pari Tamasi.
Ananta Pari Tamasi.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Shashvatir Anupuyarahim.
Shashvatir Anupuyarahim.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Ananta Pari Tamasi.
Ananta
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Ananta Pari Tamasi.
Ananta Pari Tamasi.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama. Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Pramada Sangadushitaha.
Ananta Pare Tamasi.
Ananta Pare Tamasi.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Magno Nasta Smriti Sama.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim.
Shashvatir Anubhuyarim. Pramada Sangadushitaha.
ladies. Anantapare, unlimitedly expanded. Tamasi, in the material existence of darkness. Magna, being merged. Nashta Smriti, bereft of all intelligence. Sama, for many years. Shashwati, practically eternally. Anubhuya, experiencing. Aratim, the threefold miseries. Pramada, of women. Sangha, by association. Dushita, being contaminated. Due to his contaminated association with women, a living entity like King Puranjan eternally suffers all the pangs of material existence and remains in the dark region of material life, bereft of all remembrance for many, many years. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a description of material existence. Material existence is experienced when one becomes attached to a woman and forgets his real identity as the eternal servant of Krishna, Nasta Smriti. In this way, in one body after another, the living entity perpetually suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. To save human civilization from the darkness of ignorance, this movement was started. The main purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to enlighten the forgetful living entity and remind him of his original Krishna consciousness. In this way, the living entity can be saved from the catastrophe of ignorance as well as bodily transmigration. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Anadi karma phale padi bhavanarva chale Haribade nadeki upai, evishaya hala hale, divanisha hiyajvale, manakabu shuka nahi pai. Because of my past fruitive activities, I have now fallen into an ocean of nescience. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually that so-called enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning to the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly, day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. Material existence is always full of anxiety. People are always trying to find many ways to mitigate anxiety. But because they are not guided by a real leader, they try to forget material anxiety through drink
and sex indulgence. Foolish people do not know that by attempting to escape anxiety by drink and sex, they simply increase the duration of material life. It is not possible to escape material anxiety in this way. The word pramada sangha dushita indicates that apart from all other contamination, if one simply remains attached to a woman, that single contamination will be sufficient to prolong one's miserable material existence. Consequently, in Vedic civilization, one is trained from the very beginning to give up attachment to women. The first stage of life is brahmachari, the second stage grihastha, the third stage vanaprastha, and the fourth stage sannyas. All these stages are devised to enable one to detach himself from the association of women.
Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bithamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text Number 27. In this particular narration from Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the real spirit of one who is compassionate, of one who has accepted the real mission of spreading Krishna consciousness or devotion. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. Throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Narada Muni's creative brilliance in how to reach people. Hiranyakashipu's son was in the womb of his mother. If he came out of the womb, he would have been all mixed up by Hiranyakashipu's different types of psychology of evil, exploitation, selfishness, arrogance. So Narada Muni took the opportunity to thoroughly speak the science of Bhagavad Dharma, selfless devotion to Krishna, while Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, before he heard anything else. And in doing so, Prahlad was a thoroughly enlightened soul, so he could live in the worst possible association, practically in the history of the universe, and he was strong. His spiritual foundation had already been established. And instead of being bewildered by all sorts of psychologies, philosophies, and lifestyles, even without another devotee that he could possibly see, he was like a prisoner in the palace of his father. But he was always fixed in the words of his Gurudev. And he was fearless. And he made all the children in his school devotees. It was like an underground mission. During the Soviet Union, we heard about how devotees were under the suppression of the KGB, which essentially controlled the government and had spies practically in every household. But the KGB were like playmates compared to Hiranyakashipu's people. They were trained and empowered by him, mystic powers. And Hiranyak, and already Hiranyakashipu tried to murder Prahlad in every possible way by throwing him in fire, putting him under oceans, throwing him off mountains, piercing him with daggers and tridents, putting him under the feet of stampeding elephants, feeding him poison. And even after all that, his teachers, because he couldn't kill Prahlad, because Prahlad was always taking shelter of Krishna, Hiranyakashipu was so much in anxiety. Why was any anxiety? Prahlad was always nice to his father. Every time he saw his father, he would bow down and offer respects. But he was honest with his father. If his father happened to ask him any questions, he would give him an honest answer. Hiranyakashipu considered him an enemy for the only reason that he very good technology you have. Here.
because Prahlad just wouldn't surrender to his father. He surrendered in every other way, but he wouldn't surrender to be a demon. And Hiranyakashipu was in total depression. He was beside himself in anguish. Because if I cannot control him, it's unbearable. This was Hiranyakashipu's mentality. If there was anything within this world that he could not control, that would rip his mind to pieces. And he couldn't control Vishnu. That's why Vishnu was his enemy. Everybody else he could control. And little Prahlad was a devotee of Vishnu, and he couldn't control him. If I cannot control him, then he will be the cause of my destruction. This is the mentality of such people. The teacher said, "Why are you so afraid? He's only a 5-year-old boy. Just let us take him to school. Give us another chance. We'll teach him." So little Prahlad was in school. And while the teachers would go out, when there was a recess, he would secretly preach to his classmates about Krishna. "Why are you wasting your life in this vain pursuit of sense gratification? It will all perish. Komara acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatanya. Death could come at any moment, even if you're a young child. So now is the time to take your spiritual life very seriously." And all of his children were convinced. So it was an underground movement, secret in the school. But one day the teachers came in and they saw all the children ecstatically celebrating Krishna consciousness with Prahlad. And they realized the school was finished unless they got Prahlad out of there. And Hiranyakashipu, he said, "Prahlad, when I even raise one of my eyebrows, all the devas, the demigods, tremble in fear. Why are you not afraid of me?" Where do you get your power? Prahlad was honest. Now, what's just common knowledge to us, to Hiranyakashipu, was the ultimate insult. Prahlad said, "I get my power from the same place you get your power, from the same place everyone gets their power, from Vishnu, from God." To Hiranyakashipu, that was an insult. It's like saying to Winston Churchill that he gets his power from Hitler or something like that. Yes, it's very, very bad. At that point, Hiranyakashipu was about to kill Prahlad. And we know what happened. Nrsingadev saved him. How did it all happen? Because Narada Muni was such a creative, empowered preacher. He took the opportunity to speak to Prahlad when he was an embryo in the womb of his mother and gave him full enlightenment. And then there's the story of Magrari, who was a hunter. Narada was walking through the forest and he saw animals half dead, flapping in pain. He was thinking, it's cruel for a hunter to kill, but it's ever more cruel to half kill them. So they suffer a slow, painful death. And he found Magrari with his bow and arrow, said, "Do you know who's doing this?" Murari said, "Yes, it's me." He was very proud. Because it's really an art to shoot an animal and shoot them in such a place, in such a way, that they don't die, but they don't live. They just suffer and suffer for days and days and days, flapping in pain until finally they die. This was his understanding of art. And he proudly told Narada, "I did it." So how do you preach philosophy to somebody like that? It's not that he could just give him a Srimad Bhagavatam class and Magrari, the hunter's heart, would transform. Narada just knew exactly what to do according to time, place, circumstance, Kala Desha Patra, and the person. So he would say, "Would you like to see what your future is?" And Magrari was revealed his future, where every single one of these animals was coming back and torturing him exactly the way he tortured them. He was getting bitten and chewed on and pierced by horns and clawed by their claws. He said, "This is the laws of karma." It wasn't a seeing is believing. He actually saw it with his own eyes by Narada Muni's mystic powers. He says, is this what you want?" Magrari said, "No, I didn't realize this is what happened to me." "Well, if you chant the names of God and give up your cruel activities, then you could be forgiven from everything and you can attain life's perfection." Magrari said, "All right." And there are so many stories, and this is one of them. King Puranjan. There was a king named Prachini Barhishat, who was actually a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj. Came from a very devoted family. But due to his power and his wealth and everything else, he became completely intoxicated with materialistic life. It's not that he was impious. In some ways he was. He used to go out hunting and kill animals. And he was totally absorbed, even though he performs religious activities. His religious activities was only to increase his material prosperity. But he was addicted to sensual enjoyment. And Srila Prabhupada explains here, in this particular case especially, he was very much addicted to sex life. In some places, Prabhupada explains, because from the words of the scripture, association with women, Prabhupada says, for woman, man is a woman, and for man, woman is a woman. In the sense, it's not about men or women, it's about that selfish, uncontrolled desire for sex life and for the byproducts of sex life, all the pleasures and all of the attachments. So when we're on the bodily platform so much craving these desires, we become mad by material energy. Pramada truly means madness. And what is that sloka by Rishabhdev? That now that you have attained this human form of life, the purpose of it is self-realization, to excavate the inner treasures of divine love and happiness that are within us, not simply to enjoy sensual pleasures like that are available to cats and dogs and every other lower species. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The insects are after it. Yesterday I was in Baladev and Joyce's little garden in their backyard, and I was sitting under a magnolia tree. Pretty nice tree. And very quiet. And right not far from where I was sitting, there was a spider web moving very gracefully in the breeze. And in the spider web, there was a spider, just like, poised to find enjoyment. Yeah, the little insect got caught in the web, and the spider was crawling. I was thinking, you can't blame the spider. That's all he knows. And how he makes those webs, which are incredible technology. I mean, we can't make webs like that. Even NASA scientists, they can't just be on a branch of a tree and from his mouth the stuff comes out and he just floats down, doesn't fall, and then goes in different directions, and it makes incredible formations. And it's just the kind of formation that a little insect thinks it's like the nicest bed for a fly to come and rest, but then gets caught. It's really incredible technology. And they don't need to, for their technology, they don't need oil. It just comes right out. Where did the web come out of their mouth or something? I don't know. Their what? It comes from their behind. Dhananjay Prabhu knows everything. Unbelievable. Everything about everything. Amazing. They can build a house from their behind. What can we do from our behind? It's amazing. So that's their mentality. And then I saw another spider web in another little area of the under this little shed of his with another web. I was thinking, why are there so many spiders? Spiders don't come out of their behind like that. They sex, because spiders, you know, they didn't go to school to learn how to have sex. It's just instinctive for all insects, animals. And they have a whole technology of making webs for the purpose of having sex and eating other insects. Yes? So we have nothing against spiders or any other animals. In fact, we offer respect to them and try to protect them. But human life is meant for a higher purpose than just living for the sensual experiences. We need to eat. For most human beings, they need the association of the opposite sex. We need to defend ourselves against diseases and other things. We need to eat and all of that. We need to sleep. So we're not against eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which are the animalistic instincts. But human life is we organize these things in such a way that we can achieve the real purpose of life, which is liberation from a body that has to grow old, get diseased, and die. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how material life is actually full of anxiety. And the less selfish we are, the more we understand that the world is full of anxiety. Some people may think, why Prabhupada is saying the world is full of anxiety? Because sometimes I'm so happy, and it doesn't seem like there's anxiety. Why Prabhupada, is he specially in anxiety that he's saying full of anxiety? I'm happy, you know, I'm living in such a nice house, and I have such a nice people around me, and I have nice food. But Srila Prabhupada's not just thinking about, you know, me at this moment. He's looking at the whole world. Paradukaduki. A saintly person, another person's anxiety is my anxiety. Another person's suffering is my suffering. Another person's happiness is my happiness. This is the quality of an actually spiritual person. So we may be having a nice little place where we're happy, and that's good. But what about the genocides that have been happening in Africa? What about the people being killed in Afghanistan? What about all the little flies getting eaten by spiders? What about the people who are suffering from cancer and from AIDS and from hepatitis and from heart disease? What about all the people suffering from mental depression and mental illness? What about the children who are starving and can't even concentrate on their studies? What about children who are abused? What about women who are abused? What about men who are abused? There's a lot of them in this world. We're just thinking about me, we may think, oh, I'm happy. What is Prabhupada talking about? But if we extend ourselves to consider to be compassionate to others, the world is full of anxiety. It's very real. But at the same time, the same spiritual person who's anxiety about everybody else is free of anxiety. Anxiety on the worldly platform for others. And Prahlad Maharaj, that little boy, he prayed to Nrsingadev, let me stay here in the material world because I am suffering to think of the people who are suffering in this world but think they're happy. For one who understands the nature of the soul, for one who understands that Krishna is there for everyone, people who are actually quite happy in this world and satisfied with their happiness, a saintly person will grieve for them. Because they're so blinded by that temporary happiness, which is going to end soon, that they don't strive for real happiness. Their connection to God, to Krishna. So here's Narada Muni. He is a penniless sadhu, a mendicant, who doesn't have a home, who doesn't have a family, who doesn't have a bank balance. He doesn't have any. All he has is a veena, one musical instrument that's really old. He got it long ago. He doesn't trade it in and get a new one every now and then. He has this veena that he's been playing for millions and millions of years, and that's all he has. You never see paintings of Narada Muni with a suitcase. He travels around. He doesn't have a rolling suitcase or doesn't have a computer. Ali, he has one set of clothes, and he has the same old instrument, and he just travels around, age after age, yuga after yuga. And here he comes to King Prachini Barhishat's palace. And Prachini Barhishat, he's the king of the world. It's not an elected post. It's a post for life. The only time he gives up his kingdom is when he chooses to do so and give it to his child before death. Death's coming. But he's surrounded by such incredible furnishings. This Radhadesh palace is magnificent. But King Prachini Barhishat was another yuga. He's the king of the world. It's not a chateau. It's really a palace. Tons of gold and silver and diamonds and rubies and sapphires, just decorating the walls and the furnishings. Finest foods. He's young, he's strong, he has an incredible, beautiful queen. He has everything. So what's Narada Muni going to come in and preach to him? And he understood that King Prachini Barhishat was totally intoxicated by his sensual enjoyment. So what do you say to someone like that? Now, for some of us, you know, we would probably meet the king and end up just like him by his association. Or we would just, you know, we would, okay, king, I'm going to do it. I'm going to preach to you. We speak some Bhagavad Gita slokas, some verses. Dehinosmin yata dehe, you're not this body, king. Why don't you give up your sense enjoyment? Right? And the king would just look at us like, who do you think you are? Huh? Wouldn't work. What does it mean to preach? It means to transform a person's heart. Srila Prabhupada was expert at this. He showed us. There are so many stories. I heard one story of this one lady. She was coming to the temple sometimes, and she was a very beautiful lady somewhere here in Europe, and she would spend a lot of time and money making her hair very nice and putting on ornaments, and devotees were saying she's in Maya, so she decided she's not going to come here anymore. But then Prabhupada came, so she decided, well, before stopping to come, I want to meet Prabhupada. She liked Krishna consciousness, but she just didn't like the way devotees were always judging her and criticizing her because of her attachments. So she came into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada said, oh, your hair is so beautiful. She said, God, he's so nice. But she stopped taking care of her hair because she just liked Prabhupada so much. He didn't even tell her not to. She just became detached because if he's so nice, I want to make him happy. There's a story where Prabhupada wanted Hayagriva Prabhu to become the president of New Vrindavan. And Hayagriva was totally against being the president of New Vrindavan. Totally against. But he heard that Prabhupada wanted him to do it. So Prabhupada called for him. So Hayagriva Before he went to see Prabhupada, he spent a few days just studying all kinds of scriptures and writing down, because he was a writer. He was an English professor. So he wrote all notes of arguments to convince Prabhupada that he should not be the president. He did not want to be the president. So he had all these arguments written down, and he had some scriptural quotes, and he was convinced that he was convinced Prabhupada. It was thorough. And he came into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada said, "I want to ask you to do something." And Hayagriva was already. He said, "What, Prabhupada?" Prabhupada said, "I want you to take sannyas." Hayagriva was stunned. He didn't have any preparations. He said, Prabhupada, he was speechless. He said, no, you take sannyas. We'll do it, in the next week or so. And he said, "I can't do it, Prabhupada. I can't do it." And Prabhupada, no, you can do it. He said, no, I can't. I can't. I'm not qualified. And then Prabhupada said, "Well, you don't want to take sannyas?" "No, I really don't." He said, "Well, would you like to be the president of New Vrindavan?" He said, "I would love to be the president of New Vrindavan." So, to do something, what we do should practically work. And he was actually happy to be the president of New Vrindavan for a while at least. So it's not a matter of force, it's a matter of transformation. So Narada Muni understood, this man is so much intoxicated with the fever of sensual enjoyment and being the proprietor and being the controller and being the enjoyer, I can't speak philosophy to him. He won't hear it. And he's too proud to just hear it from me. So Narada Muni said, "Can I tell you a story?" And Paranjan, "Yeah, I like stories. Tell me a story." And he told him this incredible story about a king named Puranjan. And it was really a fascinating story, allegorical story, about this king who had so much strength and power and knowledge and wealth, and how he used to kill animals, hunting as a sport, and how he became completely intoxicated by his worldly life, and how he was just taking shelter. Now, grihastha life is sacred. It's an ashram. When a man and a woman are partners in the service of God, not trying to exploit each other, it's not just about, sexual enjoyment. It's a higher purpose. We're together to achieve the highest purpose of human life. And we'll orchestrate every other part of our relationship in such a way that's favorable toward becoming liberated, becoming happy. To love each other is not just about physical acts. To love each other is about really caring, being compassionate. And spiritual love is when we're trying to connect each other to that higher essence. In this way, in other purports, Prabhupada explains, when a husband and wife are sharing their lives in devotion to God together, then the wife should be seen as non-different than the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. That's also Prabhupada's words. The wife should be seen as the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. It also says in this story, in a particular purport, that in a household family where there is a spiritual foundation, the wife should be considered a fortress to protect her husband from illusion. But when the husband or the wife, they take shelter of the opportunities for sex life with each other as the ways to solve the anxieties of the problems of the world, then the relationship becomes one of infatuation rather than actual love. It loses its spiritual basis. And what's supposed to be favorable marriage life is meant to be favorable to the perfection of life becomes completely unfavorable. So Narada Muni is telling the story of this king, and he was telling all kinds of incredible adventures of the king. And kings like to hear about other kings. So Prachini Barhishat was on the edge of his throne listening to this story. And he was telling about how this king was so many anxieties, and he would just come home and just try to forget the anxieties through sexual relationships and other types of sensual things. And how ultimately death comes. And what was his life? Now this story goes on for hours. Narada Muni is telling the stories for hours and hours and hours, and King Prachini Barhishat is he's just thrilled to hear the story about another person. And as it was talking about all the frailties and the scandals of this king, it was even more interesting. Because gossip, people like to gossip, yes? People like to hear about other people's problems. It's fun. Some of the most popular magazines in the world, they just focus on scandals. Just recently, you know, there was that one champion golfer and some scandal in his life. In America, I don't know how it is in Europe, but in America, it was the number one event on every television news channel. That's all they were talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, is the different details of the scandal of this person. You know, when he won a golf game, nobody cared that much. But when he did something really scandalous, everybody's all of a sudden really, really concerned. What's it our business? But we have this inclination, gossip, or what the Vedas call prajalpa. Prajalpa is just useless talk about other people, finding faults with others. Just like to do it. Even among devotees, sometimes we see people are just love, whether it's true or false. Sometimes, you know, people just don't like each other and they just make up things and anybody could say anything, and that becomes, you know, a big topic because we like that topic of the faults in others. And even if it's true, how does it enlighten us? In one lecture, Prabhupada said, prajalpa, gossiping about others, and when you gossip about others, what happens is whatever devotional credits you have just come out of your mouth and you lose them when you speak the faults of others. It's one of the six most dangerous things against devotional service, Rupa Goswami said, prajalpa. But still, why do we like this? because there's such a vacancy of fulfillment in our heart. We look for fulfillment in sensual quests, in hearing and speaking the faults of others, in accumulating more and more and more with greed. We need power, we need fame, we need money, we need sex, we need all kinds of music, we need all these things. We're never satisfied. Because nothing material could satisfy the need of the soul. The soul needs to love Krishna. The soul needs to love God. The soul needs to love every living being. That's our nature. We can't fill it with any other thing. But without that, we do so many things just to try to forget that emptiness within. So Narada Muni was dovetailing Prachini Bharishat's propensities, and he was hearing all about the adventures and the scandals of this other king, and he had this king in rapt attention, listening so attentively. And by the end of the story, the king comes to the realization that King Puranjan is actually me. He's talking about me all this time. But by the time he realized he's talking about me, he heard every single thing he said. And his heart transformed. And he became a saint. That was how Narada Muni reached his heart. Not by the conventional method of just, you know, this is what it says. He gave him what it says. But he administered the medicine in such a way. It's like Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes a child is sick but won't take the medicine, so the parent puts the medicine in a laddu or in burfi here in Bratadesh. And the child eats it and likes it and gets the medicine. Sometimes the medicine's bitter, but sometimes people can't take it. So Krishna consciousness is practical. It's what works. And such a beautiful building like this. Srila Prabhupada built that beautiful temple in Juhu, Bombay, in Vrindavan, in Mayapur. And now this beautiful temple is being built in Mayapur. And people from all over the world will come because of its art, because of its beauty, because of its architecture. And people come here for that purpose, because it's old and it's historical and it's beautiful. Matsyavatar Prabhu did an incredible work of designing the altar and the temple room. And people come and they're fascinated and they're impressed and their hearts open. But it's not the building that's going to change their heart. It's the association of the people that they have, that they meet. All of this is just to bring them and open their hearts. And once their hearts are open, everything works. I remember when I was in America traveling and giving lectures in colleges, I was usually giving 4 to 6 lectures every day. Different colleges, 5 or 6 days a week. I did it for some years. And almost every student was in rapt attention during the lecture. Dynamic questions, and I'd give the answers, give some prasad. Then they'd leave. Class was over. Haribo. Then I read something. Prabhupada said, giving a class and people come and they go is not very substantial. What is required is people get regular association of devotees.
cultivate them through regular association.
So how to get a room in a college? Well, you can, because if you're speaking about religion, they don't give you a room. They just let you, you just get invited by professors to speak in their classes. So I was thinking, how to do that, what Prabhupada was saying. So I taught a cooking class. So that's quite neutral. And some places we were getting 250 students to each class. And I'd teach them how to make a chapati. You know, they like watching go boop. But then we had a big feast for everyone at the end. And that's really what they came for. And they came every week. And we ended up having it in about 10 different colleges at this weekly. And just by taking prasad every day and meeting devotees, people started reading the books. When they did ask questions, they were open to really hear. And I saw, unbelievable, more people were being transformed through cooking classes than they were through Gita classes. They ultimately came to the point of Gita, but by the time they did, they had so much prasad and they liked devotees who were giving them prasad so much that they really relished the Gita. So whether it's beautiful temple buildings, or whether it's wonderful farm communities, or whether it's restaurants, you know, or just most of all, what is important is our communities. Because what people are looking for in this world more than anything else is people that will uplift them. If they come to our temples and they hear about the problems that others are having and the scandals of others are having, and they're not going to get uplifted. But if devotees are actually Krishna conscious and they see that these people really love Krishna, they're happy. I remember our god sister Ladini. What a lady she was. She just loved Krishna so much. Anything she did for Krishna, she was so excited about. She was so enthusiastic about. She would be a pujari. For years and years, she was a pujari. Did I ever tell you that story? Okay, it's almost time to end, but I'll tell the story. She was pujari for Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra for many, many years. She just loved those deities. She would dance for the deities, sing for the deities, sew for the deities, cook for the deities. She lived for the deities. And she was so happy. But then I got a letter from her. As I was traveling in these colleges, and she wrote to me about a dream she had. She dreamed that Lord Nityananda appeared to her and said, there are so many conditioned souls who are suffering in this world, and you're just sitting in the temple ringing bells, worshiping me. You should go out into the world and you should preach about the glories of the holy name. Nityananda told her that. And she was in her dream, she was all excited to just go out. But then Balaram appeared in the dream. Nityananda disappeared and Balaram appeared and said, no, who's going to take care of me at the temple? You've been taking care of me all these years. You can't leave me. You have to stay here and do your deity worship. So she didn't know what to do. So then again, she had the same dream. Nityananda Prabhu would appear and said, Balaram was from a different age. This is... I'm Kali Yuga Balaram. I'm Balaram now. And Lord Chaitanya was out with me and he sent me out to preach and I want you to help me. And then Balaram would appear to her with his club and said, no, don't listen to him. You have to stay here and do your deity worship because I'm like your son. And she really liked Balaram for years and years. This will show you the nature of her love. Every single night, her pillow was Balaram's wooden shoe, his Mahaprasad shoe. She always felt protected at Balaram's lotus feet, so all night long she would just, right on the floor, she would put Balaram's shoe and then she'd put her head and sleep like that. She was very austere. So in this way, for weeks he was getting these dreams. And finally, Nityananda Prabhu prevailed over Balaram. And she was going to different centers and to different events. And she brought Gorni Thai deities with her. And she was worshiping the deities and traveling around. And any person that came in contact with her could not give up her association. It's not possible. She just had so much spontaneous enthusiasm to serve and to love Krishna. Whether she was chanting in kirtan, other young ladies would come, college girls, and they'd see how ecstatic she was chanting. They would see how she was tasting such bliss talking about Krishna. They wanted that. They never experienced anything like that before. And they didn't know what deities were, but just seeing how enthusiastic and how much love she was worshiping her deities, they would just be at her side helping her at all times. You know Radha Sundari? I think she lived here for some time. She's the secretary for the GBC, Radha Sundari. Oh, okay. That's how she became a devotee. Ladini. She would just follow Ladini around like a little baby duck following her mother. She's good. It's beautiful. It was just her enthusiasm, her love. She had no time to talk about any mundane nonsense. She just had too much taste for talking about Krishna. Transform people's hearts. People are looking for people like that. And if we could give them Krishna conscious like that, if we have communities where there's such enthusiasm to love and serve the deities, such enthusiasm to love and serve each other, such enthusiasm to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, such enthusiasm to chant the holy names. Like Prabhupada, such kindness to every living being. People's hearts open. And then the philosophy and everything else becomes very digestible, accessible, practical, and realized. So this is how Narada Muni transformed King Puchini Barhishat by his expertise. And that expertise was based on the fact that Narada Muni really cared. He really cared. He really wanted to help someone. He wasn't speaking as a ritual. He wasn't speaking just because it was his duty. Otherwise, he would have chanted some slokas and left, and the king would have been the same. But because he really cared, he really wanted to give love of God to this man, Krishna empowered him with the ways to do it. This is one aspect of the story that I think is very important. And King Puranjan is he's just about to die in this particular verse. But in the process, King Prachini Barhishat, all of his ego, his selfishness, and his illusions are about to die with King Puranjan. When he realized, Narada Muni, all this while you had me listening and you're talking about me. I understand. And he became a self-realized soul. That is the power of the association of the compassionate devotees. Do you like to say anything, Dhananjay Prabhu?
Please consider a little longer.
Bhagopal Devi Prabhu, would you like to speak anything? Mahaprabhu Prabhu, would you like to? Huh? Vishnumurti Prabhu? Sridai Chaitanya Prabhu? Is there any questions? Yes. I think you know better than me. You have nice community, wonderful community. Prabhupada named his movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Society, community, it's a very important, prominent requirement for us. A spiritual community, or any real community, is a group of people that share the same values and share the same goal. And those values and that goal is a principle that is taken more seriously than all the things that we inevitably won't agree on. It takes precedence over everything and anything else. And a community can remain a community when inevitable differences are resolved by giving precedent or giving primary importance to the basic purpose and goals that we have. In ISKCON, our goal is to serve Prabhupada, to please Srila Prabhupada,
and by doing so to develop love for Krishna. And in doing so, we chant the holy names, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we, some places we distribute books, some places we take care of cows, we take care of deities. These are all ways of pleasing Krishna and developing love for Krishna. Now, a community is a place where we're not just after our... That's a nice snake you have. Can I see that snake? Do you like snakes? Do you like real snakes or only wooden snakes? Anyways, if you come to India, I could introduce you to many snakes. Adivo looks very genuine. But a community is where we really care about each other. We care about each other developing love of God, overcoming the problems and the miseries of material existence. And our care for each other is by, in a very service-oriented way, sharing bhakti, sharing devotion with each other. And that type of community where Krishna's in the center and we're sharing Krishna with each other in the center, because Krishna's all attractive, the community will be all attractive. It's irresistible. In this world where there's so much selfishness and so much greed and so much egoism and so many ulterior motives, there's nothing that will attract people more than a group of people who lovingly, selflessly care about each other and help each other to love God in that spirit. That's what Prabhupada wanted us to do, develop communities like this. Each temple should be such a community. Our whole society should ultimately be a worldwide community like this. But we do. We may not have that much effect on a worldwide society, but each and every one of us individually do have a very, very strong effect on the small community we're in. Haribo. Nice. Could I see your snake? That's a cobra. Please hold him up. That's a cobra. There's a lot of those in India. It's a community of snakes. Anyways, we should not be a community of snakes. We should be a community of Vaishnavas. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.